Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. Newell Norman joins the fold. I'm Tommy Tucker. We continue to talk about the snow event today, and we want to hear from you at 504-260-1870. Newell, everybody has a story, and I love to hear people's stories. I really do. What'd you do when you went home today?
I shoveled the walkway and the sidewalk so that we didn't have to walk through the snow to get to the house, and that's what I did.
You know, somehow
I beat the snow off all the bushes as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
Somehow I'm just sensing that it wasn't you that didn't want to walk through the snow, that perhaps it was Mrs. Norman that didn't want to have her ankles in the snow.
She never said a word. I went outside. I just started.
How long have you been married?
Doing 33 years.
Oh, yeah. At this point, she doesn't have to say a word.
I'm on cruise control, baby.
Just an eyebrow would do it at this point. Michael Hecht joins us now. President,
speaking of eyebrows,
you know, if I'd been more attentive to those eyebrows, chances are I wouldn't be paying for my house a second time. Well, I'm sorry, Jason Willis, beg your pardon, not yet, not Michael Hecht yet. Jason Willis joins us, Vice President of Power and Delivery for Energy Louisiana and Energy New Orleans. Good morning, Jason. You're on with Newell Norman, and I'm Tommy Tucker. How you doing?
Hey guys, how you doing this evening?
I'm all right. I'm sorry, I mixed up that the order of the guests. Tell me what the situation is with energy and power outages, because it seems like, knock wood, everything's going pretty well.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're very pleased with how our system has held up during the event. I think it just goes to show how good preparation and a solid plan holds true. And then I think Mother Nature, you know, kind of helped us out with keeping the ice away from us and making it more of a snow event. But overall, we're seeing pretty low cases out there. We're working them as they come. Our folks are out there, you know, putting safety first and, you know, just kind of taking care of things as they come along. And we'll continue to do that through the night and keep our outage cases low. That's the plan.
The cases of outage that you do have, what was the cause? Was it down trees or something along those lines?
Yeah, over the course of the event, I would say a majority of the outages were vegetation related. You know, some of them, you know, were maybe a limb, you know, overcome with the weight of the snow kind of falls into the line and we have to go out there and take care of that situation. And in some cases, you know, maybe it is a tree that fell and we have to resolve that situation. We have had a couple examples of where we have public inflicted damage due to folks out there on the treacherous road conditions and impact, you know, a pole or something along those lines, which takes some customers out. Right now, about 50% of our outages across the state are public inflicted damage. And so I would say ask the customers to listen to state and local officials and try to do their best to stay off the roads until they get cleared up.
You said half of how many outages, Jason?
Yeah, right now we have about 2,000 customers out, and about 1,000 of those are a result of one pole that's being repaired right now in the Roseland area.
And it goes to, again, you know, I was saying this earlier, Newell, I don't know if you heard or not, because I know, you know, when you listen, you never miss a moment of me being on the air. But no, but seriously, it's like, you know, you're out driving around. You shouldn't be doing this in the first place. You got nowhere to go. And Robbie Miller was telling us earlier, President, I think it was in Tangipahoa Parish, that they had a problem. You shouldn't be out in the first place. So what you do is you screw it up for everybody that's sitting at home doing what they're supposed to be doing, and all of a sudden they got a power outage. Not to mention, putting the linemen and the line women, however you refer to them, at harm's way to having to go out and repair this thing. And Jason, when it comes to a poll, that's one of the more serious problems you can have, and time consuming things to fix as opposed to like a transformer or something else, right?
You're spot on right there. You know, some of the poles, this one in particular, you know, can take up to about 4 hours to do a repair. And the linemen are out there in the cold weather, you know, dealing with it. And they'll get through it this evening for the folks in that area and get them back. You know, in some cases we can do some switching around and get people restored. But with loads higher than normal, sometimes we can't get everybody back until we replace the pole. And that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, it's a little disheartening to hear that because, I don't know, people want to get out there and drive 35, 40 miles an hour. You're not going to have control of your vehicle. If you're driving over 20, it's too fast. Tomorrow's going to be interesting for you guys, Jason.
Yeah, you know, we're reinforcing, you know, safety for our team. Obviously, you know, they have to be out there on the on the road. And with the ice being a concern tomorrow, you know, we're going to double down on, you know, focusing on safety. And, you know, that could result in a little bit slower response time. We have adequate resources still staged across our system. So, you know, we're hoping to keep any outages down to a minimum time. But, you know, we're not out of this yet. Overnight, it's going to be cold. You know, we could still see impacts from vegetation overnight because there still is snow out there on the trees and on the branches. And, you know, obviously as it gets colder over the night, load's going to pick up. We have adequate generation on to supply the load as it continues to increase, but we're just keeping an eye on it. And, you know, we'll continue to respond to outages as they happen and keep them short.
Jason, I hope I don't embarrass Newell with this question here because I've been known to ask some that at some point can be construed dumb, but I'm of the belief there are no dumb questions if you don't know the answer to, right? You mentioned that it was snow as opposed to ice, and I'm wondering the physics of this. Do we have a danger? I guess I'm wondering about the stress on the branches and why ice is worse than snow. And is a concern here, like Newell said, about tomorrow, does the snow become ice, and does that increase the chance for outages? Take us through all of that, if you can, on an eighth-grade level. Newell understands this, but for me, keep it on an eighth-grade level.
Yeah, my point of view on an event like this is the ice is more of a concern on the onset. So if we were to have today, for example, if we would have had freezing rain, mm-hmm. That would stick to the trees. You know, that tends to be heavier than the little bit of snow that can stack up on a branch.
Because it drips and then it builds on itself and builds on itself. Yes?
That's right. Okay. Right. And so the snow that's on there right now, you know, if it were to start to melt, would likely, you know, fall below. And we don't anticipate the melting and refreezing to be necessarily a danger to the trees at this point, as far as causing additional weight. The weight that's on there is the weight that's on there right now. Whether it turns to ice or stays as snow, I don't think that it's going to be that big of a difference. Hopefully that helps.
So barring any additional precipitation, then what are the big challenges for tomorrow?
You know, I think that, you know, we expect a record peak load for this part of the country tomorrow, as far as the amount of energy that's going to be consumed by our customers across our service territory. And so for us, it's going to be, you know, continuing to monitor not only, you know, the dealing with the outages, but continuing to monitor our equipment, make sure it's not getting overloaded. As we go through this event, and, you know, balancing our load out as we need to keep folks supplied with energy. Right now we have adequate reserves across the entire region, so we don't see that to be a challenge. But that's really, you know, going to be what I think the next 24 hours is going to look like for us from a utility perspective. Obviously, we could still see, you know, pockets of outages occur. There is a concept out there called cold load pickup, which, you know, if you were to imagine, you know, you lose power at your home and maybe your entire neighborhood loses power whenever you try to restore that. You're bringing everything back on at once. And so we have to be very diligent and slow and methodical about how we restore from some of the larger outages that may occur so that we don't cause damage to our equipment and, you know, maybe make it take longer than it has to. And so something that may normally on a blue sky day take, you know, an hour or two to restore, you know, maybe in an event like this could take a little bit longer to allow things to kind of slowly come up and warm up with our equipment.
So not because, I'm sorry, Neil, but just to understand, not because of the weather, but because of the additional demand?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say the demand as well as the you know, the weather. It can cool down and, you know, come to a cold condition for some of our equipment, and then it has to kind of warm back up and get back up to its capacity.
So keeping with the eighth grade mindset for the benefit of Tommy Tucker.
Hey, look, I'm here to learn.
What happens, Tommy, and yes. Correct me if I'm wrong, when, especially electric heaters, they draw a lot of amps, right?
They can, depending on how big they are, for sure.
Okay.
So everybody's home running their heaters right now, which is you know, a lot greater than the amp draw, you know, on a typical day.
And even, I guess, space heaters accumulate after a while.
All of that adds to it, yeah. Right?
Okay.
Right. Yeah, and if you imagine, you know, with it being so cold outside, you know, instead of it turning on and then off and turning on and then off, in some homes it may be running almost continuously depending on how efficient the home is.
Right.
And so when you start to add that up across, you know, thousands and thousands of homes and customers, it becomes a pretty big load.
No offense, but I'm not looking forward to getting my January light.
No.
I'm just
Would you rather the power be out, Noel?
No.
Okay, well, there you go. Just, I'm trying to help you out there, Jason. You see how I handled that? Maybe eighth grade on some levels, but every now and then, you know. No, but seriously, so going into tomorrow, your biggest concern would be what, if you had to sum it all up for us?
You know, I would just continue to, you know, I think how we started the conversation around, you know, folks, you know, keeping off the roads if you can avoid it, especially, you know, when the, you know, overnight it's going to get really cold and there could be ice where folks have been driving on roads and maybe slush was created and then it freezes over, you know. It increases the risk for car accidents, and you know, if that impacts, you know, our equipment and our utility, then obviously it can impact multiple customers, hundreds if not thousands, depending on where that may occur. And if we can avoid that, I think it's best for everybody, right?
And for those that are without power, there's nothing that's keeping people from going out and working on it now, Jason?
No, our folks are out there. We have adequate equipment. I mean, our guys are equipped with chains on their tires, and you know, they have all the right equipment to be able to get where they need to get. You know, it doesn't mean that it's not taking a little bit longer. You know, we have to protect them. Safety's first, and so you know, they may need to take some breaks to warm up. You know, and you know, obviously traversing these roads right now may take longer than what it would on a normal day. And so we're getting out there, and we have our folks responding to everything. There's nothing that at this point that we're not able to respond to. It just may take us a little bit longer to get it done.
So if I wrote it down right, 2,000 people out, half of them because of a knockdown power pole from people driving around when they shouldn't have been. Well, I hate to say shouldn't have been, but from people driving around hitting a pole. Accurate?
That's cool. Yeah, that's accurate.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Jason Willis, Vice President of Power and Delivery for Energy Louisiana and Energy New Orleans. We come back, it's going to be the Newell Norman Michael Hecht Show, which I always love listening to, and now I get to be a part of it. Back in a flash, our snow coverage continues here. An extraordinary day in southeastern, southwestern Louisiana, and we're glad that you're a part of it here on WWL. An extraordinary day in southeastern Louisiana. If you feel inclined, give us a call at 504-260-1870. Newell Norman's here, former sheriff of Jefferson Parish, who used to terrify me and still does to some extent. We're going to talk to Michael Hecht, president and CEO of GNO Inc., about impact on local businesses and Super Bowl preparations. And I'm being serious here. Always an interesting conversation when he and Newell get together. Once a week, y'all do it, right?
Yeah, yeah. Every Wednesday.
And then we'll talk with Ray Smith with Pipes R Us Plumbing. And Newell, I think this is really, as this snow event continues, that's, as the weather turns colder tonight than it has been, I think tomorrow's going to be the day, or at least when we get above freezing, that's when you're going to start to see the leaks all over the place.
They're predicting that we're only going to be above freezing 4 hours tomorrow.
Right.
And we'll start the day out at about 21 in the morning, which anytime you get, as Dave Cohen points out all the time, if you have 4 hours of 26-degree weather, that's a hard freeze. And
right.
That's typically when you start having, you know, issues with pipes. And you got to make sure that you got that nice little spaghetti stream working at the farthest point from where you're.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Service line comes into the house.
So I'm trying to time this out, looking at the high temperature, or at the temperatures and where they're forecast. So it would be, and again, we're all screwed up the days here. Today is Tuesday night now. So
it'd be Wednesday tomorrow. So
yeah,
I think from 1 to 4 or 1 to 5 are the hours that we get above freezing tomorrow. And the sun's supposed to be out tomorrow.
And you're talking about like lows of 20 tonight. 19, 17. I'm looking at Belchase, which I guess would not be that much different than New Orleans, really. Let me change over to New Orleans. 19, 21, 20. That's a hard freeze. And it's going to be that way until noon when it comes above freezing, and that way until sunset. Then 38, 37. Doesn't matter whether it's light or dark. It's all about the temperature. But I think on Thursday morning, I guess, right, is when people go really start noticing the busted pipes and.
Could be.
All right. All right, Newell, here we go. Your buddy, Michael Hecht, joins us. The Michael Hecht, and I think he has a music request here.
Yeah, he produces the show as well.
Oh, does he?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I just show up.
Wow, okay. Michael Hecht, the president and CEO of GNO Inc., joins us now. How you doing, Michael Hecht?
I mean, just the chance to play some Ozzy on WWL, it's worth it. It's worth the whole Snowmageddon. It's the blizzard.
The Snowmageddon.
The Blizzard of Oz. How about that? You know what? Actually, Michael, if you wanted to play some music and do some talking, Newell and I just soon go home.
Yeah.
We'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, I would love to do that because I'm actually working on my set. I'm playing it. I was supposed to play at Troy Carter's party in Washington Mardi Gras on Thursday night if I can get up there. So I've been working on that all night. So I've got like 4 hours of music queued up. I mean, we can start with some Genuine Pony and then go from there.
There you go.
Hmm. You got any drifters?
Snow drifters, Tommy?
No, just, you know, save the last dance for me, that kind of thing. No, I'm just kidding.
So, Dad, come on.
You youngins don't know what music is, let me tell you. But, you know, seriously, since we're talking about this, that Drifters saved the last dance for me. I used to program an oldie station. That's the only reason I bring this up. But that song is that message is as – it's timeless. It's as relevant today as it was then, really.
No doubt.
Except now, of course.
It is. Have you seen the new Dylan
biopic? I have not.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I'm going to see it, not because it's supposed to be that good, but because I think I need the instruction on it. Same reason I'm going to go see Baby Girl. I just need to learn, you know?
All right, well, let's talk about other stuff. What did you do today, Michael? Everybody's got a story. I want to know what the hex did today. What did y'all do today on a snowy day?
God, so today was spent up front just kind of doing a lot of triage on how the snow was going to affect the Super Bowl preparation because we're about 2 weeks from go time, 19 days. And so I spent a lot of time on the phone doing that. And then did some interviews in the afternoon. CNBC wanted to do one on the Super Bowl and that. And then I had one with NBC News. And it was one of those annoying interviews where, like, the interviewer really wanted me to tell her how this snowfall was going to destroy the Super Bowl and we weren't going to be ready. And she kept asking me, so why aren't you going to get done? And I said, and she kept asking me it in different ways. And I said, you know, I'm a bad liar. So I said, no, honestly, like, you know, we knew this was coming. We worked through the weekend and I think we're still going to get, you know, we're still going to land the plane. The runway is just a little bit shorter. She didn't get the metaphor. And so at some point, I think I said to her, I was like, I am so sorry, but my wife is calling me. That's always a good one. And then we went outside and walked around for a while. And I tell you, it was magical. I've seen snow in New Orleans a few times, but obviously nothing ever of this depth and the powderiness. And New Orleans wears it well. It was just a magical.
It was pretty.
A magical, gorgeous day. Yeah.
Magical, gorgeous day. It's a good way to put it. And, you know, it is troublesome, I think, and you probably go through this, and I see it on TV, where, you know, these interviewers, they go in sometimes with a preconceived notion of how they want it to turn out, and then they just won't get off that track. They keep trying to pull you on that track, and you don't want to be rude about it, right? But, I mean, what was she trying to say? That somehow 48 hours of snow would derail everything?
Yeah, I was like, look, you know, we can screw ourselves up. We don't need Mother Nature for this. We're good with Mother Nature. All of our wounds are self-inflicted.
Yeah.
You know, and actually one thing I was happy about today, I did check in on the homeless shelter, the transition center that the state set up out on the Industrial Canal, and there were about 180 people there. And I went out and had a look at it yesterday because I just wanted to put eyes on it so I could react to it. And I don't know if you guys know this about me, but after 9/11, I worked for the food bank for New York City for a couple of years before I went and joined the Bloomberg administration. And so I've seen a lot of shelters, a lot of soup kitchens. And as soon as you walk into one, you know whether it is under control and being well run or whether it's, you know, barely hanging on. And I got to tell you that the folks who are running the center, Stacy Cock, who used to do it for the city, our coach, and then EDW, they're doing a great job. We got about 180 people there, They're some of the most acute cases out there, some very sickly. And thank God that we have this center, because even though there were some challenges with the insulation and it wasn't 72 degrees, it was in the high 50s. And the high 50s is a heck of a lot better than the high 20s or the low 30s. And they were getting medical care and three meals a day, place to sleep, TV, board games. And I give a lot of credit to the folks that are working out there keeping these people safe.
You know, while you brought that up, I had Leslie Harris on earlier, and she said that she had heard anecdotally that people were being turned away, which I took two ways. First of all, it's a good thing that people are turning to that shelter and showing up at it to be admitted. But do you know if they're at capacity, Michael?
No, I'll tell you exactly what happened there, just to kind of dispel this, mm-hmm. what happened. So one, as of my last count, they were at a little bit under 180, and capacity is, initial capacity is around 200. It could grow potentially, so it's not totally full. But, you know, there was a problem with Ozanam where they had a pipe problem, so people are getting moved around, and tomorrow's going to be brutal. What happened in that case was that there was a family drove up with a family member who they were sick of, and they tried to, and this is funny, not funny, and they tried to get the shelter to take the individual because they couldn't handle that person at home. And they had to be explained to that, you know, that that's not the purpose of the shelter. They're taking people who are out living on the street, and they tried to refer them to somewhere else. So no, anybody.
I told them not to bring me there, Michael, but they wouldn't listen.
They wouldn't listen.
I told them I'm not going in, but no, but seriously,
I will go to the media.
Let me tell you, I am concerned about the homeless, and I know Leslie Harris has a deep concern about them as well. And I think she's passionate about what she does, but not everything's going to be perfect for everybody. And I told her this. I think that this shelter idea on France Row is a pretty smart one. It seems like a pretty good solution to an ugly problem that's not going to have a perfect ending for anybody.
No.
Is that an accurate way to put it, guys? What do you think?
No,
that is.
And look, and the thing is about, if you've ever, you know, worked with or spent time with the homeless population, it's very, very heterogeneous. There's some people who have been hard on the street for literally decades, and they've got acute physical and emotional, you know, problems. And then you've got some people who are just temporarily unhoused because they fell on hard times or got into a fight. You've got military veterans with PTSD. You've got the kids who have run away from home. And I think what's most interesting about having a center like this is that it gives you a chance to triage these cases. And some people are ready to work. Some people are ready to go into housing. Some people need medical care. And some folks are just not ready to care for themselves. And some do actually want a bus ticket home. And so I like the ability to get people into a safe place. And I think what's most compelling to me about it is that because everybody's in one safe place, it's efficient. You can bring the service providers like Unity or like the health, the doctors, the caseworkers to a single place. And so it's much easier than having to go around the city or go to different apartments. So, no, it's not perfect, but having, you know, kind of watched it, I can say that it's being done with good intentions.
And compassion.
And everybody who's involved. Yeah, and compassion. Absolutely with compassion. I mean, the people involved are, like Stacy, you know, have been doing this for many, many years.
And the other thing, you know, if I might jump in for a second, one of the complaints was that the people were being dispersed. And plans that were being made to give them alternative housing were being disrupted, but that's not the case at all because they're all in one place here, right?
Well, yeah, they're all in one place.
They know where to find them.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's like I didn't.
And you can't be, and you can't be forced there, and you can't be forced to stay there. It's
right.
Just, it's a, you know, look, the weather outside is crappy. You know, nobody deserves to be outside right now.
Michael, I like you. I'm thankful that although it wasn't planned, you know, this in advance of this event, but thank God they had it, right? I mean, it was
timing's everything.
Fortuitous that it was that it worked out this way. But Michael, today I thought everybody from the state to local government really hit the mark. The the advanced placement of assets throughout the city, throughout the metro area. Mm-hmm. The communication I thought was great. The messaging was, dare I say, perfect. Tommy and I were talking about this off air earlier. It's rare that we have weather events like this where it seems as though everybody hit the mark. I mean, I know we're still in the midst mm-hmm. of it. I know we still have a couple of days. But it was really encouraging as I was driving in to work this morning. I saw about 10 people out on the road, seven of which were NOPD officers, you know, driving around. And the barricades were up and everything seemed to be working as planned. And it was it felt good.
Nope, I agree. The city's been great. I was, texting back and forth with Gilbert, who's had a big, long couple of days, but they brought in assets from out of state to help clear the roads.
Gilbert Montagno, you're talking about CAO for people that don't know?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Gilbert Montagno, CAO, who's kind of been driving this, and talked to Secretary Donahue at DOTD. And, I think they brought in trucks from Arkansas. I think the city might have brought them in from Indiana or somewhere, but they, everybody, considering this is a once-in-a-lifetime event, it seems that everybody played their part really well. And I think it's something that's getting missed a little bit in the whole Super Bowl story, but I think it's spilled over into this, is there's been a level of cooperation and goodwill between the city and the state and other entities that is pretty unusual. I certainly haven't seen it before. But having the clarifying goal of the Super Bowl, I think it develops a good muscle memory, and maybe that's what we saw on display today.
Yeah, you and I talk about this all the time, and you mentioned it earlier about self-inflicted wounds, and it's just really nice in advance of the Super Bowl. Again, as Tommy said, timing is everything. When you execute on the plan like we have this time, it just kind of feels good.
If I might just follow up on that, Newell, also in terms of, you got this interview trying to take Michael down a road that was not true. So the world is watching, and New Orleans actually shines. And that's, I guess, the point you're trying to make, right?
Absolutely.
That we handled it. We got this.
Look, would we like to have these 4 days back?
Yeah.
In advance of the Super Bowl? What do you think, Michael? Yeah.
No, it's how I felt after my first spring break in college. Would I like to have those 4 days back? Yes,
every year.
But, you can't unring that bell.
And there was minimal impact because the planning was in place, and I think it's a chance for the city to shine. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, look, the best, and people of course want to talk about this, and they want to talk about the terrorist attacks on the first, and I think that the way to say it, our best revenge on disaster and on evil is success.
Yep.
And
yep.
I think that if we are able to have a successful Super Bowl in 19 days that shows a city that is as bright and functional and optimistic as it ever has been or has been in many, many years, that's going to feel like victory. And I think that momentum will carry us forward. So I think everybody's really focused on the next couple of weeks and pulling this off and showing the very best of the city to literally the whole world. And if and when we pull it off, I think we can feel like we've overcome a lot, but that's because we're working together.
So who are you pulling for this weekend?
Oh man! Oh, so everything got upended, but I have to say that now you got to go for Washington because
I do too with Jaden Daniels. That's my guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got Jade in there, and honestly, like I hope I'm not offending anybody, but like our infrastructure can withstand a lot, but I don't know if we can withstand Philly fans because like
they can be obnoxious. I'm just.
I have a lot of friends from Philly, but, and they wear that as a badge of honor.
But look at this. You would have Jaden Daniels taking on Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs. That'd be a hell of a game.
Yeah,
hell of a story. All right, Michael.
Yeah,
look,
we
got to run. Thank you. When will you be back on with Newell? When do y'all come on again?
Are we doing a mini segment tomorrow, Newell?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
All right, tomorrow. So, and then Michael, you have to come on with us in the morning one time to talk about Super Bowl preps because I want to talk to you in depth about that. All right.
Love to you, gentlemen. Stay warm.
You too.
Thank you, sir.
Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc., and that is a good point, Noel, that you made, that City showed its best, put its best foot forward when challenged right before the Super Bowl, and I hope that is absolutely a story other than making up a thing where they try to get Michael to go down the other road. All right, back in a flash, we'll talk plumbing on WWL. Hi, Tommy Tucker, Newell Norman back on WWL as our snow coverage continues. Ray Smith joins us with Pipes R Us Plumbing to talk about, and Newell, this is really the next step in this snow event, the low temperatures and the freezing pipes. How you doing, Ray?
Fine. How about yourself?
Cold?
Yes, sir. It's chilly outside, that's for sure.
Ray, yeah. I haven't seen you in like 2 weeks. That's unusual.
Well, I know, Newell.
Ray's the one that addresses every plumbing challenge that I have.
Oh, is that right?
And he is a master. Yes.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yes, you are.
Tell me what people need to know tonight as it really gets cold. You know, the snow is fun and everything, a magical day, as Michael Hecht said. But, man, you could be talking about some serious problems when all this starts to thaw out if you don't do what you're supposed to do. Right, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, it's too far gone to get out there and do anything about it right now. But the only thing I tell people, if they still have water, is to make sure that they run the farthest fixture from the intake from the house, the farthest fixture run, dripping hot and cold, a pencil stream, in order to keep the water flowing through the pipes. Because that way, water freezing, water that's moving will not freeze. So, other than not having your pipes wrapped before the freeze, there's not too much you can do. And we're not going to know anything until this thaw, until I would say Thursday at the earliest.
Ray, is there anything special that you should do if your pipe, if your water pipes are frozen in advance of the thaw?
Well, I would suggest you go out to your main and turn the main off because it's already frozen. And if it won't turn, there's really not too much you can do because you don't want to put a wrench or anything on it because it may bust something open and cause more insult to injury.
Now, when y'all say main, you're not talking about opening up the where the water meter is. You're talking about the main valve to the house,
to
right?
The house.
The main feed coming into your house. Yes, sir. You should have a knob or a handle on your water feed coming into your house.
So there's no way to, if that is frozen, you don't want to warm that up to try to. I don't know how you would warm it up. At that point, you're pretty well stuck and just at the mercy of nature and.
Well, if you crave the element, you may want to use a hair dryer. You could use a hair dryer and maybe free it up that way. But it's usually frozen where it comes out of the ground, especially if it's not insulated.
What about one of these heat guns that they use for shrink wraps? Would that be okay, or is that too hot?
It gets hot.
Well, you don't want to put too much heat on it, but I would suggest a hair dryer.
Okay.
Person. Most people would have a hair dryer in their homes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we'd get one of those shrink wrap guns when everything's closed down around here.
That's true. So to Neil's question again, is there anything that people can do at all?
Yeah, is there a faucet that you should open, like,
as things begin to thaw, that would relieve some of the pressure on anything? Is there any way to determine that, or it would depend on where it's frozen?
Well, You could open your outside hose bibs. If you have water coming out, I would suggest to let them run. Yes, sir. I mean, that would free up any water that's starting to freeze inside of the pipes. And if you get a good flow going, then you could shut them down. But I would let them run as long as the temperature stays below freezing. They have to freeze up again.
So if you do have something that's frozen right now and the water's not running, it would be a good idea to open what valves you can, maybe other valves in the house, or not necessarily?
Yes, you could. I mean, if the water's not going to flow if nothing's open.
So trying to get it moving, I guess, is what I'm saying. Would that
If you open a faucet, a hose bib or something on the back of your house or whatever, the furthest from the intake, and you're getting a trickle or something out of there, or if nothing's coming out, I would suggest to leave it open. Because that way you can tell if and when the water starts to flow, if it becomes unfrozen itself.
Ray, what? So You know, we talk about a hard freeze being about 4 hours at 26 degrees, and that's when, you know, we typically have this plumbing challenge. Is there any way to determine, like, the timeline of the thaw? I mean, what is the optimal – obviously, the higher the temperature, the better. But what is the lowest temperature that's out there above freezing where your pipes will actually start thawing out?
It should be up above 32. They should start flowing because 32 is the freezing temperature of water. But as you know, we're going to be down into the teens tonight, and it's going to be an all-night affair. So, and it's not supposed to come up above freezing, I think, until around 12 or 1 o'clock from what I've been hearing.
Right.
So really, no one's going to know whether they have any broken pipes until, I would say, Thursday.
Yeah, that was my next question. At what point, I know y'all are planning and getting ready, at what point do you anticipate all hell breaking loose? Because all hell is going to break loose when it comes to broken pipes. Y'all know that. When do you anticipate that, Ray?
Thursday, for sure. We'll be working nonstop from Thursday on. I can anticipate that already.
I know y'all will not probably be able to get out tomorrow, but are you taking numbers now, or can people call and get on the list now if they think they're going to have a problem, or how does that work?
Well, my wife has the computer here at the house, and, you know, she's monitoring everything, and we haven't had any calls today, which you're not going to get any calls until, I would suggest, until late evening tomorrow or Thursday morning. But,
real quick, I want to ask you, what should people look for? Somebody texted this in. Where should they look if they got pipes in the attic? Look in the ceiling? Look where?
Well, if they're in your house, you're going to know when they're
breaking. Pretty quickly,
because water is going to show itself right away. If they're in the attic and they bust, you're going to know about it right away.
Give it a number to call before we run out of time for people if they want to get on the list.
Yes, 504-866-2730.
504-866-2730. All right, thank you. We appreciate your time staying up late.
Thank you, Ray.
I know y'all going to have a tough couple of days coming up, man. More when we come back. Newell Norman's here. I'm Tommy Tucker. Our continuing coverage of the snow event of the century, I guess, continues here on WWL.